This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We want to look at why in the world credit scores are going up during this pandemic. I'm David Brancaccio. After the shock of recession, with only about half the 22 million jobs lost due to pandemic having returned, why then is FICO, one of the leading credit score companies, reporting that on paper, more of us are looking like better risks for borrowing? The average FICO score topped 700 this summer, reaching its highest on record. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
Two of the main things you need to do if you want to get your credit score up: pay your bills on time and pay down debt. And more people have actually been able to do that during the pandemic, says Ted Rossman of creditcards.com.
We've seen all this government stimulus. We've seen all these hardship programs. Lots of people have mortgages and student loans in deferral or forbearance.
But those stimulus checks and federal unemployment benefits are long gone, and Congress is at an impasse. And that worries Chi-Chi Wu, a staff attorney with the National Consumer Law Center.
If we don't get additional assistance, I am concerned that we're going to see a lot of consumers unable to pay bills, unable to pay rent.
And that will eventually have a negative effect on people's credit scores. Many lenders are already factoring that in, Rossman says.
So even though the average FICO score is going up, it's gotten a lot harder to access many types of credit.
So that higher score might actually be worth less. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Today's the deadline set by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to get a broad pandemic relief package worked out before the election, which is 2 weeks from today. If there is something, it might cost something like $2 trillion. Marketplace's Nova Safo is watching this. Any progress?
Well, appears to be, if you look at where we started out, David, which was, as you know, very far apart just on the amount both sides wanted to spend. We had a $3.5 trillion proposal from House Democrats back in May. The White House initially signaled it wanted to spend far less than that. So did Republicans in the Senate. But the White House and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have narrowed the spending gap. They are hovering just around that $2 trillion mark, give or take a few hundred billion dollars. And Pelosi's office says she spoke for an hour with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin last night, and they did make more progress.
So is this happening today? He said, asking an unfair question.
Yeah, right. There appeared to be some nagging policy differences still on how money would be spent on things like coronavirus testing, aid to state and local governments. Also, there's the liability protections issue for businesses that Republicans are seeking. Pelosi has accused the White House of wanting vague spending language on some of this so that they can have more leeway on how to allocate funds. Well, can they bridge the remaining differences? There's some cautious optimism yesterday, at least on that. But White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows did say that there may not be enough Republican votes in the Senate for something like $2 trillion in spending. Meanwhile, the Senate today is expected to vote on a much smaller pandemic relief bill today and also another one tomorrow.
Nova, thank you. Market participants suggest this is all one reason stock index futures are higher this morning. S&P and NASDAQ futures reach up 0.8%. Oh, and here's how it works. Let's test it out. I'm talking along, interrupting, not letting the other guy finish, to be used in Thursday night's final Trump-Biden debate. The new mute button, according to the Commission on Presidential Debates, can be used only during each candidate's two-minute statement at the start of each of the debate's subject areas. The other day, we reported on how younger people still have remarkable confidence in their chances of finding a new job quickly despite the recession. But according to our latest Marketplace Edison Research poll, 30% of workers 55 and older are not confident at all about the prospect of finding new work soon, compared to 20% of all adults. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst has that.
Tom Lynch in North Carolina is an upbeat guy. He's 75 and still has his job as an accountant. He gets to work from home. But even though he's been able to hold on to a job so far, he's not optimistic about what would happen if he lost it.
Beginning when I was 55, I was having trouble getting interviews. I think I could find work, but I think I would probably be working at 70, 80% of what I make today.
Gary Bertless, an economist at the Brookings Institution, says older workers are less likely to get laid off, but
once they're laid off, have to hope that the job market gets very robust, the unemployment rate drops very low for them to enjoy a good chance that they're going to get hired again in a job that's as good as the one that they lost.
Research from the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston found that older workers were about half as likely to find jobs during recessions than younger ones. Of course, age discrimination is illegal, but experts say it's rampant. Some employers worry healthcare premiums will be higher for older workers, or that training on new technology might be harder. And with the pandemic, there's the added issue that older workers are more vulnerable to the virus. That kind of discrimination can lead to something else economists see during recessions: earlier retirements. Economics professor Courtney Coyle from Wellesley College says a wave of retirements can be dangerous.
Because your Social Security benefit amount is going to be larger if you wait longer to start your benefits, then those people who claim their benefits early, they're going to end up having lower retirement income for the rest of their lives.
Those kinds of retirements lead to worse health care and higher poverty rates. So Coyle says lawmakers should focus on policies to protect those forced into an early retirement because of a pandemic they didn't see coming. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.